Children head out for junior church. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and let's go to the book of Luke. Book of Luke chapter 7. Book of Luke chapter 7. We're pretty much primarily going to be in that area today. We're not going to really turn around much in pages. We are going to look at two other verses toward the end. But we're going to stay in Luke 7 predominantly this morning as we look at this topic of forgiveness. Or being forgiven, actually, more specifically. Luke chapter 7, as we get ourselves ready, as we get ourselves prepared to hear what the scripture is going to tell us here. Have you ever felt shame for something you did wrong? You're thinking to yourself, that's a really silly question to ask. Okay. Or maybe you got into some deep financial situation that you thought you had no way out. Don't say that out loud, okay? Please don't do that. But I mean, maybe there have been situations that you've had to encounter in your life, and you're thinking, how in the world is this going to happen? You get into financial debt, you have things that happen, things that occur, and you're thinking, there's no way this is ever we're ever going to get out of this. We're in too deep of a hole. Have you ever looked down on somebody? Or at someone thinking that you're better than they are, or more advanced than that person. Now, you're thinking to yourself, no, that's my boss. My boss thinks that he's better than me, when I'm really better than him. Okay? But these situations tend to occur in life. These situations happen, and the thing is how do you react to that? How do you get to that point where you kind of realize that, you know, maybe I might need to change your mindset. Maybe I might have to change some things or the way that I view things. Today, we're going to examine these questions and draw an application from the narrative that we see today here. Luke chapter 7, the beginning of the chapter talks about the centurion being healed. The centurion servant being healed, and then we have a widow being raised from the dead. And then the next thing that happens after that is that Jesus talks about John the Baptist. And then at that point, while they're talking about that, the Pharisees and the other people talk about and they dispute like they always did with Jesus. But then one particular Pharisee was like, let me find out a little bit more about Jesus. Let me find out a little bit more about what Jesus means by these things. So then he goes to his house. And this is where we pick up the narrative here in verse number 36. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meet. I submit to you this morning as we're looking in our text here and as we look into the scriptures here that we ought to forgive everybody, forgive all people, no matter the cost, because Jesus forgave all our sins. And we're going to look at an example here of a lady who was forgiven and someone who kind of scoffed at the idea. But really, how can that all tie into us and how can it all tie into salvation? And we're going to look at that this morning. Father, help us as we look to your word here in these next couple of minutes, these next few moments here. I pray that you just help us as we seek to learn more about you. We learn more about your word. Father, help us to set aside anything that might disturb us, that might cause us to not focus in on your word here in the next couple of minutes, that distractions might be put away. And Father, I pray that you would just help us just to focus and hone in on the topic that you've given for us to hear, that we can hear. And Father, there's someone in here who doesn't know you as Savior, that Father, they would come to trust you as Savior today, that they would cry out and say, Lord, please forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. And knowing when we do that, that you say that, yes, we can be forgiven because Jesus can save all people, because Christ received sinful men. Father, I pray you just help us this morning. Help me as I speak to be clear, to be plain, and help us just to be able to hear it clearly. Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. So, first of all, we're going to look at this servant here. And that's going to occur here in Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 39. Verse 36 again, Here's the setting. Pharisee invites Jesus to the house. And as we all know, as a review, and I'm used to review because I'm usually with the children's church group, so that tends to make me want to go a little lower, I guess, in a sense, as far as teaching people. But usually with the junior church, we review the previous lesson so that way they understand what's going on and I'm not just speaking a whole bunch of words. And they're like, huh? But as we get into here, a review, Pharisees were people who thought they were righteous. They were people who thought that they were better than everybody else. And how do you know that? Well, just read the scriptures, read the context, and that will kind of help indicate that, hey, they think they're better than everybody else. Don't you not like those people who think that they're better than you? I mean, they think that they can do this better than you, they can do that better than you, and you're like, yeah, let's see it. It kind of bothers you, maybe. I don't know. It does me sometimes, but I know there's things I cannot do. I definitely cannot do anything involved with plumbing. I know nothing about that. There are things I don't even know how to build a pew. I mean, you think, oh, it looks easy. No, it's not easy. There ain't no way I can build that. The stand here, this wasn't even built by me. This was an idea I had and someone else put it together. Mr. Shaw did that. It's an idea. I can't do that. That's not my trade. You're thinking, man, you're useless. Well, in different ways, I'm useful, okay? But the idea, though, is that sometimes we are kind of given that inferior thing, like, oh, look at what I do. I'm better than this. Or you need to catch up to me. Whereas you ought to be able to do things just because you're doing it because you love the Lord. So verse number 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. They had a good old-fashioned meal. What was it? I don't know. Could be fried chicken. Maybe not. Could be pizza, lasagna, or tilapia. I don't know what they're eating. It just says they ate. What did they eat? I don't know. So you can take that up to your own speculation. Verse 37. And behold, a woman in the city. Now, before we continue on, Luke's gospel is very detailed, which means he's going to put in some facts here that you think, why would he do that? Well, he was a physician. And so doctors, and they need to be, have to be very specific in certain things that they need to do, whether it be to fill your prescription. Because if they miss something in your prescription, just one little bit, what's going to happen? It's going to mess you up. So Luke was very detailed and very precise in how he worded things. And so when we come into verse 37, it says, a woman in the city which was a sinner. You're thinking to yourself, okay, everybody is a sinner. Well, why would Luke highlight the fact that this lady was a sinner? Well, commentators have speculated this and other things, but it's probably because she had sinned abundantly. And she was well known for being somebody who did a lot of wrong things. What exactly? They don't know. some people speculate that maybe she was in some sort of bad things like prostitution or a harlot or just habitual sinning. But the text here says, which was a sinner. So whatever the case is, she must have been someone who had habitually sinned quite a bit. So, this is going on. She comes in. No one really knows how she came in, but she comes in. And when she knew that Jesus sat at meat at the Pharisee's house, verse 37, brought an alabaster box of ointment. Now, some people like to say this lady is Mary Magdalene. There's nowhere in the text that indicates that. It just says a woman in the city. So, she brings this ointment. Why? Verse 38. And stood at his feet behind him, weeping. Now, why in the world would somebody weep? Well, sometimes the idea here is that, think about it. When you weep, usually there's a few reasons why you weep. Number one, you're in pain. Oh, I don't show pain. Okay, cool for you. Or maybe you've lost somebody. Weeping has a sign of this as the fact that you feel a little weak, but there's something that's going to strengthen you. And she felt in this sense here that there's something that she's lacking. Let me submit to you that idea. But she knew that she had a need to Savior. How so? Well, Romans 2 talks to us that our conscience reveals to us that we need a Savior. There's a question that goes out there. How is everybody going to hear the gospel? Just read Romans chapter 2 and Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 2 tells us that the Gentile will hear the gospel because of their conscience. Their conscience is going to tell them that there is a God somewhere out there. The Jew falls short of God because of the fact that the law, the Mosaic law, and that reveals to them that they need the Savior. So everyone's going to know Jesus and everyone's going to be accountable to him. And obviously, her conscience must have revealed to her that she needed to find a way to get to Jesus, and that she needed Jesus. How do we know that? Verse 38, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears. I don't know about you, ladies. I don't know if you'd want to wash feet with your tears. And even more so, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head. I don't know many who want to do that. But why was this going on? Let's continue. And kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. The commentator says this, A.T. Robertson says this, among the Jews it was a shameful thing for a woman to let down her hair in a public place. But she makes this sacrifice. Why? Because she's showing her humility and sorrow. She's showing the fact that she is indeed a sinner, but she needs a Savior. Most who shed tears again are repentant of what they have done or are in pain. And a tradition here is that when people go into someone else's house, that they would take off their shoes at the door and sometimes they would have their feet washed. She shows remorse for her wrongdoing. How? She's wiping Jesus' feet with her own tears, wipes them with the hairs of her head, kisses his feet and anoints them with ointment. Now, how in the world do we know that? Well, look at the Pharisee's reaction, verse 39. And when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself. He's saying to himself, what's she doing? Saying, if this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. If she knew, if he, Jesus had only known. Now, does Jesus know everything? He does. Do you know Jesus knew that he was saying that? Nice theological term, all-knowing, omniscient. Jesus knows all. He knew what this Pharisee was saying in his heart, even though he didn't say it verbally. He knew what she was trying to do. And we'll see that in just a second. But he's like, oh, she has a bad reputation. This perfect man is allowing her to touch him and wash his feet? Oh, that's a beneath my level of righteousness, is how he's looking at this. Would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. This is that pharisaical, holier-than-thou mentality. But what did Jesus do? What was Jesus' main purpose in coming to earth? Luke writes, to seek and to save that which was lost. Was she lost? Absolutely. How do we know that? Well, in the case that she's a sinner, so can she go to heaven if she's a sinner? No, she needs to be a sinner saved by grace. So, Jesus, I like the way that Jesus takes it here in this aspect. We have the lady who's sorrowful, who's repentant for what she's done wrong. The Pharisee says, oh, look at this. He's dropping down. He's not being above her. Jesus at the Pharisee's house and comes an unexpected guest. Now Jesus is going to use this as a teaching lesson. First of all, we have seen the servant. Second of all, in verses 40 to 43, we see a parable here. Verse number 40. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. Now, can you imagine yourself in that living room there? You have the Pharisee. I'm trying to stay behind the pulpit because the camera doesn't move. Okay? But it's hard for me, Jack, because I tend to move around. So you can imagine the scene here. You have the Pharisee. Wherever he's at, probably on the other side of the room. You have Jesus with his feet all up and stuff like that, as he would normally do. And then here's this lady washing his feet. And then the disciples are there. How do we know that? Well, he talks to Simon, one of them. And as this is going on, he says, Simon, somewhat to say unto thee. Completely disregarding what this guy was thinking, but knowing what he was thinking, he was going to use his thoughts to help him see the truth. Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. Verse 41. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. So we have two debts here, meaning quite a bit of money here. 500, obviously more than 50. Think about it, simple terms. $500 someone owes to $50. Okay. Now, which one would be the higher debt? The 500. Okay. So all this is happening. Verse 42. And when they had nothing to pay, they didn't have any money. They had nothing. But what does this creditor do? He frankly forgave them both. He forgave them. He gave them a favor is the idea of this frankly idea. Who would be more appreciative? Well, he asked that question in verse 42. We had frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Which one would love Jesus, would love that creditor the most? The one who was forgiven 500 pence or the one who was given 50? Who would be more grateful? The 500. I mean, if you owed somebody $5,000 and they forgave you, you'd be like, hey, victory party. I have to spend that extra money. But here's what Jesus is trying to point out here. Verse 43. And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Simon agrees with us. The one who was owed 500 pence, they're the ones who probably be more appreciative. Now, what is Jesus trying to share here? He gives this parable in the middle of this dinner, lunch feast with this Pharisee. What's he trying to get to? Jesus shares a principle about different degrees of forgiveness. Now, Jesus will show us what he means by this parable. First of all, we've seen the servant. We've seen the lady who was identified as a sinner. Secondly, we've seen the parable that Jesus gives. And finally, we're going to be looking at number three, forgiven always. Verse number 44. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon. Now notice he didn't talk to the Pharisee. He didn't mention that. Why? Because even though Jesus knew what the Pharisee had said, he wanted to show Simon and show the Pharisee what exactly Jesus truly means by forgiving. Continue on, verse 44. Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, but thou gavest me no water for my feet. So he went to the Pharisee's house. They didn't give any water to wash his feet off. He didn't have the nice covered shoes that we have today. They had sandals, and it got dirty throughout the roads they walked through. So a tradition would have been to get some water to wash the feet off. He didn't do that. But this lady has not only, verse 44, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore, I say unto thee. We'll stop there for a second. So all these things, he's trying to do a compare and contrast here. The Pharisee never offered any of these things, which would have been customary or traditional, especially when a guest comes into their home. But here she is, and she's using herself to try to make Jesus feel comfortable. Yeah, he had a meal with the Pharisee. But the Pharisee had this thought, oh man, this woman, this sinner, I don't need to do that. That's beneath me. But what was Jesus trying to get at? Here's what Jesus was trying to get at, verse number 47. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, what's the next two words? Are forgiven. Forgiveness. How much were her sins? I don't know. The verse only says many, more than one. But what's Jesus trying to drive out here? Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. There's a lot of things that she enjoyed sinning and doing things that were wrong that she thought was going to be for her benefit, which really was not. Again, we can speculate what those were. Text doesn't indicate that, so we don't really need to get into that. But she seemed to love a lot of things that caused her to sin. Ecclesiastes writes that sin is for a season, and she must have done quite a bit. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. The Pharisee, on the other hand, was this self-righteous guy. He was the guy who had owed 50 pence, and the woman was the 500 pence. Either way, both of those can be forgiven by Jesus. But the ones who feel like that they're self-righteous, they're the ones who are the harder to understand that Jesus paid it for them. Whereas the person who sinned a lot, they realize how great a gift salvation is. Let me explain it to you this way. Maybe you've heard testimonies of people who, when they've come to trust Jesus as their Savior, they tell you this huge story of how they had grown up and they had gone through all these different trials and tests in life. And then Jesus finally got a hold of their heart and changed their life completely, where you have that song, "What a Wonderful Change in My Life Has Been Wrought Since Jesus Came Into My Heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul, like the peace billows roll. Sea billows roll since Jesus came into my heart." And you hear stories about that, and the grand story of how Jesus took me from this place I should have not been at, and then I got saved, and now I'm doing all these great things for Jesus. And you're thinking, man, that's a great testimony. And then you have someone come and say, yeah, I got saved when I was 3 years old. Now you're thinking, that story sounds great. 3 years old, that's cool. You understood that? But does it change the significance that both people were saved by the same Savior? No. It does not. What was the key thing? They both got saved. They were both forgiven. I can definitely tell you that I don't have that kind of a huge story. As far as my personal salvation experience, I was saved at 6 years old. Over there from that building was the seed plant of that. Then Pastor and Mrs. McClure came over, answered some questions, and at 6 years old, understood that I needed a Savior. But it doesn't cheapen the fact that I got saved. It just means that I've had more of a time and opportunity to serve the Lord than someone who maybe gets saved when they're an adult. But you know what? Everybody still needs a Savior. Everybody still needs to be forgiven. Verse 48. And he said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." Here this Pharisee is watching Jesus do that, forgiving her for the things that she's done wrong. Probably a genuine salvation occurrence here. Verse 49, "How so? And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is he that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto the woman," here's how we know she got saved, "Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." When you come to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have that eternal peace. Doesn't matter how it happens. Doesn't have to be some grand story. Jesus forgives all. Such a beautiful example that the Scripture gives to us, that He forgives her. Again, we don't know how much it was, but she was forgiven. Now, how does this apply to you and I? I want to share with you two passages here to see how this applies to you and I. How can we share Jesus out with others? And they both rely upon the terms of forgiveness. The first one is Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, which says, "And be ye kind one to another." What's a Christian ought to do? Be kind. Be kind one to another. Tender-hearted. Tender-hearted. And notice the next phrase. Forgiving one another. How hard is it to forgive somebody when they've done something wrong? But look at it this way. Jesus forgave all of us. I'm not Jesus. I'm not perfect. No. But Jesus set forth the principle of forgiveness. And if Jesus can forgive, you and I can forgive. No matter how big it is. But you don't know how much this person owes me. He owes me thousands of dollars. Well, that's between you and him. But maybe cut him a little break. I know of people who owed me money and they haven't had it. I'm like, don't worry about it. Why? Because I know that. Now, some people will take this verse out of context, but my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If I'm able to help somebody in their time of need, there'll be a way for God to help me out when that time comes. And I know God's done that many times in my life personally. So be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Why do we forgive? Because God forgave us. And the last application verse is this. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. Then came Peter to him and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Now, how many times do you know of people who've done you wrong? Don't say it out loud. Okay? But you know what? Have you been wronged by other people in life? Sure. If you haven't, tell me how that hasn't happened to you. Because I would love to know. So Peter asked, it's a genuine question. How many times should I forgive somebody who's done wrong to me? How many times? Seven times? I think that's enough. Verse 22. Now, coming into this verse, Jesus was talking about church discipline. Talking about worshiping together people who want to serve or don't serve, or people who've done wrong, and trying to get them to come back and forgive. And those who don't forgive, they kind of get cast out. But Jesus was still trying to give that person second, third, and fourth chances before they can't do it anymore. And Peter hears this when he says this question. But notice what Jesus says. Verse 22. Jesus saith unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times." I'll have to do it seven times. "But until 70 times 7. 490 would be that number. Now you're thinking to yourself, I have to forgive somebody 490 times? I mean, if you want to keep track, sure. But I don't know anybody in this room who's going to say, okay, I've forgiven Mike Rivera one time. I've forgiven Mike Rivera five times. I don't have that tracker. I mean, my phone would have to... We'd have to have extra memory just for how many times I had to forgive each person I know. But what's the principle behind it? Forgive. Why? Because as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you, we ought to forgive others. But you don't know what they've done to me. I don't. But God does. And if God can forgive the biggest sin that's ever been committed in life, I think you and I can at least get close to that. Too many people today hold grudges against people because they've wronged them, because they've done things that just make them feel like, oh man, I can't handle the fact that this person constantly does me wrong all the time. Well, think of how we do wrong toward God all the time. But God doesn't give up on us. As hard as it can be at times, we need to forgive people. It hurts our walk with God when we hold grudges. We have to pray for them and show them God's love. People may wrong you. People will wrong you. It's the sin nature that's in this world today. But how do you overcome that? With love, with care, with compassion to your fellow person, Why? You never know. You might be able to show them Jesus through you just caring for that one person. You never know. Father, we come to you in prayer. We thank you for the day you've given to us. Father, we pray as we start to conclude, as we start to finish this morning. Question on our hearts and our minds are these. There are two questions that are to be asked from this message today. Number one is this: have you been forgiven? Those viewing through Facebook, those who are here live in the auditorium, have you been forgiven? Have you asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse your heart? If you've never done that, I encourage you today. Why don't you ask? Why don't you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, to save your soul, to give you that eternal life? Why not have the great peace that comes with that? Everybody likes to have peace. This is the greatest peace you can ever seek, is knowing that your eternal destiny is secure. The second question that comes from this message is this: how many of us can say, you know, someone has wronged me, but I haven't forgiven them yet? Or I'm holding a grudge against somebody. Or I think that I'm better than somebody else. And Pastor Chris, I pray you just help me just to be able to forgive people as Jesus forgives. Help me to understand that and help me to learn closer and more on how I can do that. The invitation is this: God spoke into your heart about forgiveness. I encourage you, whether in your pew, at your computer or TV at the house, or at the altar up here, that as we sing this song, pray that you just help us just see the need that we have, either to ask Jesus to be our Savior or to help us to be a person who forgives others. Father, bless and move in this invitation time, we pray. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We're going to sing the hymn, just a verse or two of Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. But if you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, I encourage you to know that for sure before you leave these doors today. Or maybe there's somebody that you need to talk to. Maybe someone's wronged you and you need to ask for forgiveness or forgive somebody for something they've done to you. God spoke into your heart as a song is sung. Do what God has you to do today.